Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If price and service means something to you, it's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Here in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15. In Hummel's Wharf. It's great to have you with us as we roll through this Tuesday together. Kevin on board, a bit concerned about the makeup of his baseball team, the draft pick of his football team, and really, your teams are a disaster right now.
It's pretty much, train wreck, disaster. Yeah, any way you want to describe it, it's not good.
Do you think it has something to do with you?
Well, I think that's why the Steelers lost on Sunday. It was because I watched the game. I listened to you. You said it wouldn't matter. It mattered. I'm not watching any more Steeler games. You know what I'm going to do? I have a lot of orange in my house because of my proximity to a team wearing orange and purple every week. So what I think I'm going to do is become a Broncos fan for the playoffs. Because my wife said, what are you going to do the rest of the season? I said, I don't know. She goes, you don't have anything to root for by the looks of the TV today.
Well,
you would be right.
Well,
so I think I'm going to be a Broncos fan for the playoffs.
Manning went out, and Manning was actually rather pointed after the game about playing in cold weather. And basically, he slapped everybody who had been critical of him playing in cold weather because he had a big game yesterday. In Tennessee has a pretty good pass defense, and he had a big game yesterday. Well, he did something I've never heard Peyton Manning do. He really kind of slapped the critics yesterday. Now, he is now 4-7 in games when it's 32 or below, and yesterday was one of those days. But still, I was really surprised, pleasantly surprised, because I don't think people now in interviews, anytime you're honest in interviews, it doesn't help you, it seems. You know, all of a sudden people get ultra critical for anybody who attempts at any attempt at how they honestly feel about something. Because most answers are pretty canned and pretty standard now, and there really isn't any variation off the line.
Well, but that's also part of, you know, because we always take advantage of that when you do say something.
Exactly. Well, he went after people yesterday after the game when he was on KOA in Denver, which I thought was interesting, how they felt about it. All right, got a lot more to talk about today. First, inside Penn State Athletics with DJ Newbill previewing Penn State Duquesne as we continue, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2010 Chevy Equinox Limited, the most affordable crossover, just $22,996. 2010 Ford Explorer XLT, new tires, new brake linings, just $21,997. A Pontiac Torrent GXP, four-wheel drive, peace of mind, $15,554. 2011 Hyundai Sonata Limited, fully serviced, $17,498. And a sporty, like new, Subaru Impreza sedan, under 8,000 miles. Lowest price promise, $27,495. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrotzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
And welcome once again to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few minutes. Have Shikellamy basketball coming up tonight, game two on the season. The Braves will travel to Lewisburg to take on the Lewisburg Green Dragons, a very talented basketball team at that for Lewisburg, and one of the teams in the hunt for the Heartland Conference Division II. Pregame getting underway following Talk to Santa, and of course the Nittany Lions, as you heard Steve say, with Inside Penn State Athletics coming up tomorrow out in Pittsburgh once again, taking on Duquesne. You can hear the Nittany Lions after Talk to Santa again. Tip-off is set for a little bit after 7. We'll join it right around tip-off here on WKOK. So some of the things coming up here this week. Shikellamy Wrestling also on the radio. Check out the full schedule online at WKOK.com. And then while you're there, just click on Sports Schedule, and you'll be able to see everything that's going on. As we said, Nittany Lions coming up tomorrow with basketball. We'll talk more about that through the day-to-day and also tomorrow. But one of the things that has been really bugging me as the last 24 hours is the fact that the Phillies and Ruben Amaro are looking to make a trade. And one of the trades is Dominic Brown, who they're shopping around here at the winter meetings. Well, that changed a little bit here throughout the day today. Now they're adding another member of the Phillies to the shopping list of team of players they're shopping around. Actually, two more, as a matter of fact. Cole Hamels and Cliff Lee are now available for trade. Here's my question, and I'll be
You're
interested.
You're all panicked.
Well, I'm waiting for your thoughts on this, Steve. Yesterday we talked about Dominic Brown being up and on the trade block for starting pitching. So today, Ruben Amaro basically saying that Cole Hamels and Cliff Lee are available for trade. Aren't they starting pitchers? I may be wrong here. I think...
Yes, but they're okay. This is where the Phillies have foul-balled it. They foul-balled it on long-term contracts that are expensive that they owe.
I understand that. But my question if you're Ruben Amaro, Steve, shouldn't you have thought of this before you made those deals and realized, you know what, if I make too many of these long-term, high-priced deals, we're going to have cap issues?
Well, first of all, I don't think you should ever sit there and say, I'm worried about cap issues. The whole thing's to win.
But you have to know when you give Hamels the big deal, Lee the big deal, Howard the big deal, and now you give Utley a deal. Simple math tells you that sooner or later, you're going to get up to the wall of what you can spend. And then, as you mentioned, you have an aging staff now, not only pitchers, but infield as well. We talked about that yesterday. And you have no money to do anything with it. And the guys that you expected to bring up last year didn't pan out the way you had hoped and may or may not pan out in the future. So, I'm sorry. I don't have a whole lot of confidence right now in Ruben Amaro's decision-making, because I honestly think they need to start drug testing in that front office.
He speaks highly of you.
I'm sure he does.
Okay, let's look at what they're faced with here.
Okay.
When they didn't move Cliff Lee last July, I'll be frank with you, I was surprised. I thought, if there's any time to move a guy with a salary like that, it's at that particular stage, especially with so many teams even at that particular moment. The Red Sox ended up winning the World Series. But going into the playoffs, and this included Texas at the time before they were beaten by Tampa Bay, I said that week, that day, that all nine teams, it would not surprise me if any one of the nine won. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And that's the way things have played out, because we're at the moment in most sports, there aren't many great teams. You end up with really good ones winning and having it fall into place for them. I think that's a fair statement. There really aren't many great teams. Miami, the Heat, the last couple of years, great team. Nobody really in the NHL, nobody in the NFL. It's about when you get hot. I mean, the Ravens lost four of their last five regular season games last year, won the Super Bowl. We know about the trials and travails of the Giants and still winning Super Bowls. Okay? And the same thing in Major League Baseball. We haven't really had a dominant, great team in Major League Baseball win. And to be frank with you, I think the last great team to actually win that was legitimately a great team, 2009 Yankees were a great team. The 2004 Red Sox were a great team. Everybody else has been really good. Really, really good. You know, loaded with potential Hall of Famers and things like that. Or people that were going to get deep consideration on the Hall of Fame ballot. Better. I think maybe that's a better statement. So when you have so many even, I was really surprised the Phillies didn't make a move with Cliff Lee, because everyone's looking for that last bastion of starting pitching, which, by the way, the Red Sox did. They picked up Jake Peavy from the White Sox in that three-way deal that included Julio Iglesias going to the Tigers as the stopgap for Johnny Peralta.
I have more questions about this. Many more questions.
I have a lot of questions for you, but most of them are personal.
We won't get to those on the program.
And half of them are psychological.
You know, the Pirates are looking a lot less difficult to root for right now.
Well, you can always root for Kratzer Insurance. Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, they're on your side. Homeowners, auto, life, business insurance, if price and service means something to you, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Here from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Homeowners, life, auto, business insurance. If service and price mean something to you, it's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. And I'm here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, we cannot say enough great things about them. 4th Street in Sunbury, and also Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. I had a guest lined up this half hour, but I moved the guest back because Kevin needs room to operate.
I do. Listen, I understood everything you said in the last half hour, all right? I get all that. But here's what I don't understand. Put yourself, be Ruben Amaro for a minute. You have all these guys that you want to supposedly keep. Lee, of Utley, of Hamels, and Howard, and you start making these long-term big deals so they stay with the organization. And that makes the fan base very happy. Why do you go?
Okay, into... can I interrupt you for a second?
Well, hang on.
As a fan,
yes.
How important was it to you last year when they signed Cole Hamels? Because if I recall correctly, you were four square behind that one. That meant a lot,
and I still am. And I still support that. I still support signing Hamels. I do, but what I don't understand is, why do you sit there less than a year later knowing that these deals you're going to make are going to cost you a little bit? I knew that as a fan. I'm okay with that because I think Hamels has some years left. But if you, as a GM, you have to know that this is going to put you near the cap and you're going to have issues. Why do you come out less than a year later and say, well, you know what, everybody's in this organization is available. There are no untouchables in the Phillies organization. Now, I know what he said, what they talked about this morning and what he kind of said this morning was that they haven't, you know, said that, yes, we're going to trade these two guys. And, you know, there's no motivation to do that right away. But if a right deal comes along, they will. I just don't understand it. If you didn't want him, why sign him? What has changed in the last 6 months?
I think what he saw on the field over the last 6 months.
Well, he should have been looking previously, because the first 6 months of the season looked that bad, too. I don't understand what the direction of the organization is right now. It makes no sense. Let's sign long-term deals. Let's keep these guys. We'll keep the fan base happy. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe we better trade one of the players that actually is performing in the outfield, because we have a bunch of guys that aren't. Oh, maybe we should trade some of these really good pitchers, even though we need pitching. It doesn't make any sense to me. And you're the one that has no, as you say, no dog in the hunt. So you're gonna have to be the voice of reason for me.
Because I think, well, first of all, I would not assign Cole Hamels to 6 years.
I think six years is too long. You're right.
Let's start with that premise. I am somebody who feels strongly, and I may lose a lot of people over this in terms of personnel, but I feel a position player should be signed to no more than 5 years, and I think a pitcher should be obligated to them for no more than 3 years.
I'm trying to think. Has there been a pitcher that signed for 6 years that hasn't had an issue over that six-year term? And I know there hasn't been many that have, but I can't think of anybody that hasn't had at least one issue along that six-year term that they've missed a lot of games. It's just a long time for a pitcher.
Name for me the 10-year contract that's worked out for a position player. A-Rod, Albert Pujols.
I was gonna say, I don't think A-Rod's worked out that well. But
I'm saying, though, they had none of them have. Pujols hasn't.
Right.
And if you were to handpick a guy that it would work out over 10 years for, you probably would have picked Pujols at the time of the deal, correct?
Yeah,
I mean, I would have.
Yeah.
I would have.
I mean, if you look at it that way.
I never would have given him 10 years. Like I said, I would offer a position player no more than five. That's why the Red Sox offered Pedroia 7. You know, really, really good little ball player. But
the Phillies' long-term deals just have not worked out. And
nobody's, Kevin, nobody's long-term deals have worked out.
Right, right.
Okay, that's my point about the free agency part. My point about the free agency part is that very few, if any, long-term deals have worked out. Very few. That's why I'd limit pitchers to three and position players to five, which now brings us back to Cole Hamels. I wouldn't have offered it to him to begin with. I'd have looked at him and said, look, you want to be a free agent? Go ahead and be a free agent. I'll take the draft choices and go from there. Now the Phillies have to trade him, or don't have to, but are considering trading him, along with Cliff Lee, whom I'm shocked they didn't move before the trading deadline last year.
That was a mistake.
And the question is going... And the question, though, is going to be about each one of these individuals is, how much of their contract will you pick up if I take them? And that's not the question you want either.
Well, I don't think the Phillies are going to pay anything as well.
That's why the odds of them moving them
are very slim.
Become exponentially small.
Sure.
Now you're looking at I would say the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Angels, and maybe the Texas Rangers.
Well, you had mentioned this in the last half hour. You said you were really that I was really excited when they signed Cole Hamels. Absolutely was. What was the one thing I said? The only thing I don't like about it is I don't like a 6-year deal. It makes me nervous.
Well, he made it through one down, five to go.
Yeah, well, he may not make it through the fifth one, at least in a Phillies uniform anyway. Now, and then the other thing that comes out today is we talked about this yesterday. Dominic Brown, who is right now probably their best player on the field statistically, not counting pitchers, all-star. They want to trade him, and they're going to link Papelbon with it.
Well, that's also a salary dump.
It is a salary dump, but what in the world do you need to do to get... I mean, you really think you need to throw Papelbon in a deal with Brown to trade Brown? Brown can't be traded on his own merits?
Yeah, but that's not the reason for putting Papelbon
okay.
in there. You're trying to get rid of the $11 million salary.
Okay, so that's just a benefit for the Phillies, not for who's going to pick up Brown.
Exactly. Right. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get $11 million more off the payroll by including him in the trade. That's why they're trying to couple and group like that. What they're doing right now is exactly what the Red Sox not only attempted but did do in 2011. And that is the Red Sox took Adrian Gonzalez, $150 million worth of contract. Carl Crawford, $140 million worth of contract. And Josh Beckett, about $80 million worth of contract. And then Nick Punto was the fourth player. And they grouped all those guys together. Now, at this point, Crawford was in the middle of his second season. So of that $140 million, the Red Sox still owed $110. Of the Gonzalez deal, the Red Sox still owed $120. Of the Beckett deal, I think they still owed, I want to say, $60. So now you add that up, 110, 122, 32, that's 290, and then you add in Nick Punto, whatever, let's round it to $300 million. The Red Sox cleared $300 million off their payroll, and that $300 million would have been spent over the next 5 years. That's $60 million per year. And that $60 million per year was going to be on four players. And because that would be like 20 for Crawford, 20 for Gonzalez, I think 15 for Beckett, 5 for Punto. So now you're spreading that over a 5-year span. They cleared their books. Well, what did they do? Okay, they did some research for one thing. This is what their research turned up. The research turned up that Shane Victorino had been a winner everywhere he'd gone, and they still felt he had something in the tank. The research showed that Mike Napoli had, between the Angels and the Rangers, was a winner. Now, they thought he had back problems, so instead of giving him a 3-year deal, they gave him a 1-year deal. The research showed that Johnny Gomes was that kind of go-getter and the kind of guy they felt they needed. They traded for Joel Hanrahan because they thought they needed a closer. He got hurt, so that one's a problem. And then they signed Steven Drew because they needed a shortstop, and they wanted to make sure that they had a great glove there. So they signed him. So that's what they did with their money. And they still had some left over, so when it came time to make a deal and get a Jake Peavy, they did. And they gave them the fourth starter that they were looking for. That's what they did with their cash. And then they re-signed David Ortiz to a two-year contract. Not five, not ten, not six, but two. They signed him to a two-year contract. Decided not to re-sign Jacoby Ellsbury, or at least make him an offer, but then he signed with the Yankees. Okay, fine, they'll replace him. But that's what they did, and this is what the Phillies, I think, are attempting to do right now. I think the Phillies are attempting a salary dump here so that they can reshape and reform the organization. You're not buying.
Okay. All right. I mean, if you want to reshape the organization, that's fine. Why is Dominic Brown not part of the organization reshaping? He's a young, talented player right now. Why trade him away for the possibility of two or three guys that may or may not pan out?
Well, it depends on who you get.
But that's what the discussion is now, is the Phillies want a couple of guys and a couple of young players, at least two or three. Well, that's great, but you've got one talented young player right now. Why take a risk on three other guys that may or may not pan out?
Maybe they think they don't think he's a long-term solution.
I mean, at this rate, the Phillies are going to end up bringing up the entire Lehigh Valley squad. They might as well just be the Philadelphia Iron Pigs.
Well, I'm, you know,
as a fan, I'm at a loss.
If they have any player that's on the low end of the salary scale that they can get the most for, it's Dominic Brown. They obviously must have asked themselves a question within the organization that moving forward, can we build the team around Dominic Brown? Somebody must have come up with the answer of no. I'm just trying to explain. I'm not on Ruben Amaro's side.
I understand. Yeah. I just don't understand what the direction, as a fan, I don't know what to get behind because I don't really know what the direction of this organization is right now. Are we keeping guys that we like, that we think that have some years left, or are we trading guys and looking toward 2020?
And I don't think we can answer that question properly until we see if they've made any moves.
And that's the one thing that I think all Phillies fans, including myself, have to keep in mind. These are discussions. There hasn't been any open debate or any open offers on the table for any of these guys. These are just guys that are available. And I would imagine that they're looking at trading Brown first, then Papelbon, then Lee, and then Hamels. That would be the order, I would think, if they could get. In preference. Order of preference, put it that way. And that's simply because I agree with you. I think they can get more for Dominic Brown than they could get for anybody else on the Phillies roster right now. I don't want that, but...
But see, here's the next part of it. They can not only get more, but here's one of the reasons why they can get more. The team acquiring him doesn't have to pay through the nose salary-wise to make it work. He's economically exactly what you want to fit in with a moving forward with young player philosophy. At some point, he'll become a free agent. And then it's going to be their problem in order to deal with whether they make him a qualifying offer, give him a long-term deal, or whatever. I mean, I'm not on the Phillies' side one way or the other. Again, I have no dog in the hunt. I'm just, you know, you are asking questions. I'm trying to explain it. You know, I would not have given Hamels a six-year deal. I understood why they re-signed Cliff Lee and went in that direction because they had Halliday, Lee, and Hamels all at once, and I think they thought they had their big three and that nobody in a short series could beat their big three. I completely understand that philosophy. Now it's fallen apart, especially with the retirement of Halliday, who's had two awful years injury-wise, and he explained how painful it's been for him. And it's been very painful for him. been very painful for him. But that's where it all fell apart. When the Halliday domino went, then Lee had to struggle through pitching tremendous baseball and winning. What did he win? 7-8 games 2 years ago? How many games did he win 2 years ago? He didn't win 10.
Lee?
And he pitched brilliantly. Cliff Lee. 2 years ago, remember how brilliantly he pitched and had zero
support?
Well,
he didn't get any support, right.
Right? I mean, he pitched brilliantly and had zero support. So then last year he pitched really well. He made the All-Star team. And Hamels pitched, you know, Hamels had some up and down moments, but for the most part, Hamels pitched pretty well last year.
Lee was 6-9 with a 3.16 ERA
right.
in 2012, and 14-8 with a 2.87 in 13.
Right. Outstanding. So both Lee and Hamels have done their part, but I think what the Phillies are looking at right now is they're looking at a team that isn't good enough to beat the Braves or the Nationals. So I think they just decided to break the thing up and regroup and start over. Because they've already gone out there with a healthy Hamels and a healthy Lee, and they still finished third and faded. Now, when you go out there with healthy guys that are your 1-2 starters and might be the best 1-2 punch in the division, and you still don't even get close to sniffing the playoffs, you then think about breaking it up and starting over again. Maybe this is what they're doing. You're depressed.
No, I'm just thinking on the other side of the state, the Pirates are just looking at a third baseman, and that's about all you hear from them. So I'm wondering if the color of the letter on my hat needs to change.
Third baseman, they got Alvarez.
Rumor was they were looking at Chavez.
Maybe they're thinking about taking Alvarez and switching him to first base.
That could very well be. Well, I mean, they're one of like 8 different teams interested in him. So, but
no, I'm saying, but they might be thinking about moving Alvarez to first base and taking him off the corner. I mean, maybe that's what they're thinking, because it's not like there's not any logic to that. There is a lot of logic to that. Alvarez impressed me so much. He was one of the guys that I really wondered how would he handle the postseason. And he was terrific in all 6 games for the Pirates in their postseason run against Cincinnati and St. Louis. He was terrific. He was the one guy you really could count on when the money was on the line. And you know how I feel about money on the table.
Money on the table.
I've talked about it all the time, but that's where you find out who's got it and who doesn't. Let me put it this way. Why don't I have confidence in Oregon football? Because when you're up 40-10, it is easy to make 3rd and 8. It's easy. When you're down 24-20, how difficult is it to make 3rd and 8? It's one of the problems Ohio State had the other night. Ohio State spent a lot of the season front running. And then we found out which team was mentally tougher on a neutral field. Michigan State. Headed to the top of the hour. Kratzer Insurance is our sponsor every Tuesday. Kratzer Insurance, our good friends in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. All right, well, what kind of insurance do they offer? Simple. Auto, home, life, business insurance. And they believe in 2 distinct principles, service and price. That means something to you. It means something to them. It's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Also here in the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Break before the top of the hour, then news from CBS, then Sarah Bartlett. Ben, the next hour. All right. Do you want to keep talking about this next hour?
No,
or
I'm
do you
done.
Want to, or you want to, you're exhausted?
I'm exhausted.
Former Chicago Bear Dennis McKinnon is going to join us in the next hour. He played in the Super Bowl 20 Bears and also played in the Fog Bowl. We'll talk to Dennis McKinnon next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.